Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. Yes, I have puppies. You want to see my puppies? You have to go to Facebook, Camp Good Dog. That's where the puppies are. That's where they're born. That's where they'll be with their mama until they get their forever homes, their golden doodle puppies, 9 of them. And then there's one standard poodle puppy who's ready to go right now. And he's really, really cute. He's Apricot and gorgeous and just loving it here. But he does need a forever home as well. So you can see all the puppies playing with dogs and with each other and everything else. The little puppies just opened their eyes a couple of days ago and they're just starting to walk around. So it's pretty great. Yeah, it's pretty cute. It's worth checking out. All right. So in the meantime, we're going to talk about horses, maybe. I'm not sure. It's kind of a riddle. It's manypastures.com, and it's Roger Welk. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thank you for having me.
Does this have something to do with horses?
No, it doesn't. It actually
no.
Doesn't. No.
Darn. That was my best guess. Okay. What is Many Pastures?
Many Pastures is a brand of dog treats that we started after farming alpacas that is a one-ingredient pet treat, such as beef liver, beef heart, et cetera, like that.
What's the alpaca? It's not alpaca heart, is it?
No, actually, we started because we farmed alpacas to start with, and we started to use them for processing for meat, and because of the fact that we wanted to use every part of the animal, we started to take the heart, liver, kidneys, and tongues and had them freeze-dried for dog treats. And down at the farmer's market, I got approached by the other farmers of the beef and pork and chicken, and was asked if I could do the same thing with their byproducts. And we saw the need for a single source ingredient out there for pet treats, and so we created the Many Pastures pet treat line. And at the present time, we only use products from Minnesota farms, but we are continuing to grow all the time. So there was such
there's so many things in there I want to pull apart that are great. I have some dogs. Well, really, I run a boarding kennel, Camp Good Dog, and we have up to 50 dogs at a time. And sometimes, right now, I have a nursing mom, golden retriever, who's too slim, and an elderly standard poodle. My own dog's also too slim. He's just elderly, and you know, if you give him too much food, he just won't eat it, or he'll throw it up. He's just too slim. He's been too slim since he was 11. The vet doesn't have any solutions for me, but when I can get him to eat, I want maximum impact. I want organ meats if I can get him to do it, you know, and what better way than this? The same for her in the barn there. I can't feed her enough to keep up with the milk supply that's demanded of her body right now. So I need really good, strong foods for this. And on top of all that, for anybody out there who has some problems with staining, I have had some amazing success feeding dogs who have eye stains organ meats. There's something in the enzymes in the liver in particular that seems to help and negate that staining, that you get that brown, disgusting little marks on the eyes. And there are other ways to get rid of it too, but giving your dog a little bit of liver once a week is the way I choose, the way the dog would choose. So Roger, tell us a little bit more about how we can, what your product is like and how we can use it.
Well, we simply source the products from farms and from areas in Minnesota that we know. So that way then we can ensure that the animals have been taken care of correctly, and so you know where all the products are coming from. We bag up in separate lines. So all the beef liver, there's nothing but beef liver in the product. We freeze dry it, bag it up, and then make it available for sale. And we have beef liver, beef heart, chicken hearts, chicken liver, pork hearts, and pork liver. Those are our different flavors that we have at this present time.
You know, I have a hard time getting chicken livers. I do. I cook them for my dogs, for my standard poodles, and once or twice a week, depending on the eye stain issue. And I have a hard time getting them. I have to get them free in a freezer, and they're kind of questionable, and sometimes freezer burned, and the stores don't always have them. And it's not so easy. Never mind if I wanted to cook it for myself. So I like it that you're offering a really good quality product for them that's not imported. Because that's another big issue. Sometimes in Canada, anyway, we get tricked by the labeling. Something says made in Canada, but really they took this product that came in and maybe 100 in a bag. They divided it into 10 in a bag and repackaged it. And they put a little tag in that was made in Canada. And now it's called made in Canada. But the thing might be oranges grown in Florida or garlic from Asia. And yet it says made in Canada, right? So we get tricked all the time by this. So it's really important for us to figure out who's really actually domestic, you know?
Well, and this product is all very domestic, and it's all, we have it freeze-dried in Wisconsin. We're in Minnesota, and it comes back to us in Minnesota. We bag it ourselves. Actually, I am the bagging department, my wife and myself, so it gets bagged by us, and then it's available for sale. Can't get any clearer than what we have.
So do people just go to your website?
Absolutely. Our website is manypastures.com, and we are actually offering a radio discount for 20% off of the whole Many Pastures pet treat line for anybody who uses the code radio when they purchase them.
Okay, so if I'm a person who used to enjoy giving my dogs pig's ears, and then I stopped because maybe it was less politically correct to have your dog chewing on something that looked like somebody else's pet's ear, or maybe it's because of the salmonella scare in the 80s. I stopped doing that. So then maybe I switched to jerky, right? Bought it in big bags, was feeling okay about that. And then I started to learn that there was this big scare about jerky, that it was being imported and disguised, and dogs and cats were dying. And so I stopped doing that. Is this the new solution for me if I'm that pet owner?
I truly believe it is a new solution for you because of the fact it's single source and it is not masked, not diluted, nothing else. It is 100% from Minnesota at this present time. And as we grow, we will probably start reaching out to Wisconsin farmers and Iowa farmers and stuff like that. But it will never be anything but a U.S.-based farm product and not and packaged right here in Minnesota and freeze-dried in Wisconsin. That's it.
And so the things we're worried about, like melamine and these odd plastics and that fillers made from other things, that's just not in there, right?
No, ma'am. If it says chicken livers on the package, it is 100% chicken livers. That's all that's in that package.
Oh, that's very nice. So manypastures.com. We've been talking to Roger Welk in the Lake District in Minnesota. He tells me everything is the Lake District in Minnesota, which is nice. He's got a sunny day over there. Roger, I'm so jealous. It's raining here. No fair.
It's a beautiful day here. It's a beautiful day.
And a beautiful place for these animals that graze, right? That's what the Many Pastures is about, isn't it?
Absolutely. We try to work with as many of the farms directly as we possibly can. So, and we've started to actually list the farms that we deal with as they come on board on our website. So so that way then the people can even check us out further what type of farms that we're actually working with. So we list as many as possible and those who want to get listed. Some farms are so small, they're only doing one or two cows at a time or whatever, but the bigger farms, we list them on our website so people can actually click on links from our website and actually see what type of operation the farms that we're trying to work with are dealing with.
Okay, everyone. So go to manypastures.com. Thanks for joining us today, Roger.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be talking to the Pet Safety Crusader next. Denise Fleck will be back talking to me on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Dog Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hello, you're back listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And yes, I have puppies. I do. 9 in the barn with their mama and one that's older that's being kennel trained and is in the house and ready to go. And they're so gorgeous. And I want you all to have a look at them at Facebook Camp Good Dog. And sometimes I hire people who've already had pet first aid to work at my kennel here. Sometimes I get them to take the course because I want them to know if they're willing. And sometimes people say they're squeamish or they can't stand the sight of blood or they don't want to do it or they don't think they'll need it when I offer to pay for a free course and get them certified in pet first aid. And that always makes me shrug. Because it kind of sends a message to your employer, you know? And it's like, you know what? You're not really in this. Because if you're in this as someone who works with dogs and cats, or even as an owner, you don't want to have that what if moment that, oh, if only I'd taken pet first aid, my dog, my cat is bleeding to death, is choking to death. And a little bit, just a little bit of expertise could save the day. So I've had these experiences in my life where I'm, you know, somehow summoned because there's some kind of emergency. In one case, it was a guy playing golf and the dog, after being a reliable little companion all the time, he'd go putt in the woods. This dog, for some reason, went for the ball at the last minute and got the golf club in the eye. And the dog was just had this horrible, gory injury and the man couldn't deal with it. And he stopped in here and I jumped in his truck and we drove to the vet and I kept it irrigated and stuff you don't know if you don't take the class. So we're going to talk with Denise Fleck about this. Welcome to the show, Denise.
It is awesome possum to be here with you today, Deb.
Okay, well, last segment we were talking about perky jerky, so I'm really glad you're here, awesome possum. It's going to be hard to keep up with your rhyming ability. I'm not even going to try. So, Denise, pet first aid. I think it's surprising to me how many owners and people who work and own animals don't seem to think they need it. I've used it and needed it in so many experiences and times in my life. So what can we tell them to get them to get?
Deb, it's just so important whether you're a pet owner, a pet parent, an animal caregiver, a dog trainer, a groomer, anybody that spends any time with animals, because we know life happens and we can't keep our dogs and cats and any of our animals in a plastic bubble. We need to be there for them when it happens. And I don't train people to be veterinarians. That takes a whole lot more schooling. But the point is to be able to rescue Rover or help Fluffy feel better before you get to veterinary care. Because what you do at the time an injury or illness happens to your pet can really make a difference in their pain and suffering, and not to be overly traumatic, but really between life and death.
In the outcome. The right. Outcome. It's so important. Stop the bleeding. If you don't stop the bleeding, the dog dies in your car on the way to the vet. If you stop the bleeding, well, it might even be a minor little stitch-up job. I had a dog step on a piece of glass. It was a broken bottle in Stanley Park, this huge park here in Vancouver. And it was my dog. And I was running with him. And I didn't see the glass in the half full of water ditch. Neither did he. We're running along, having a great time. And he steps in it. And it's a big jagged piece of bottle in his paw, right? And I see the blood on the ground. Before I know it, he's sitting there picking it out. So it's already pulled out and there's blood everywhere. And, you know, I had to wrap it really, 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 really tight and know how to do that and then get him to a vet. Right? It wasn't a big expensive thing after I got him to the vet. It was a few stitches. It was minor, but it caught a vein. He would have bled to death for sure. You know, there's no question. That's what the vet said. So like, you got to know, right?
Absolutely. Knowing where the pressure points are to press, knowing how to keep a bandage on so infection doesn't get in, knowing how to lower their body temperature so their brain doesn't swell, you know, in heat situations. There are so many things. Alleviating choking so that you can prevent the pet from going unconscious and not needing to do the rescue breathing and the CPR. So
recognizing the signs of distress before they get into these situations, whether it be dehydration or hypothermia or whatever. The situation is seeing it coming, because it's so, you know, it's so much easier to fix when you spot it and you go, wait a minute, excuse me, ma'am, but your dog needs shade and water. It's going to get dehydrated. Oh, yeah. Like it's so much easier then than later. when it's unconscious.
Oh, yes. And, you know, finding a bump when it's, you know, the size of a pencil eraser as opposed to a golf ball, you know. So it's just really, you know, we're living, breathing animals just like our dogs and cats, but we're a different species. And our dogs and cats don't tell us when something's wrong. Actually, they often try to hide, you know, problems being pack animals. And
especially,
you know,
cats. Cats are small prey animals to most species. So they disguise their pain. There's some dogs who will actually ham it up. They get attention for their pain. They can even mistakenly show pain when, yeah, exactly, milk it, work it, phantom pain. Had this one dog, he was owned by a vet, and somewhere along the line, he got injured one day on my dog walking route. And so I took him to his owner, right, in the middle of the workday. Well, he thought this was terrific. So then all the time he was pretending to be lame and limp, and I would bring him in and we'd do all these tests. There was nothing wrong with him. One day he in the middle of an exam, he started faking like it was the other leg. It was like, you're busted, man. Border collie, you know, what a phony baloney. And it was just because he wanted to go for a big long walk with the group. And then instead of being returned to his boring house, he liked hanging out at the clinic. Well, of course he did. You know,
well, those border collies are smart, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I think about him. His name was Spook, and he was one of the dogs who posed for the cover of my book, Good Dog, way back, many years ago. It's still available, but it's out of print now. I replaced it with a DVD, and my DVD is available online if anybody wants to check it out. There's some YouTube clips, too, that are free. 10 of them, training, you know, come and heal and manners, all kinds of stuff you guys need. All there free on YouTube under Deborah Wolf Dog Training if you want to check it out. So, okay, so pet safety and first aid and spotting all this is so important for all of us. And it's good to get the refresher. How do they get at this from wherever they are, Denise?
Well, if they're in the Southern California area or anywhere across the Southern U.S., because I'm going to be taking a tour this fall, you can find classes at sunnydoginc.com. But come the end of July, my classes will be available online. So just, again, stay tuned to my website. And wherever you are, you can get a really comprehensive pet first aid and CPCR course. We now have that second C in there for cerebral, meaning we've really changed the protocol to emphasize getting blood and oxygen to the brain so that that dog or cat will be the same animal they were before the incident happened.
Oh, okay. So it's really important for people. And they can find out more from you listening to your show, right? Do you want to tell them about that?
I would love to. Following Deborah here, I have the Pet Safety Crusader Radio Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. We cover pet first aid and safety tips and talk to a plethora of pet and animal care experts that share all sorts of helpful advice and pearls of wisdom to help your dogs and cats live longer, healthier lives with you.
Lately, there's been some disturbing animal news. There were four women here who were hurt. It's a really odd thing for the police to respond to a dog attack on four adult women, but that's what happened. And they were attacked by their own dogs, three pit bulls. They were all together and a Shih Tzu. The Shih Tzu, of course, was innocent, uninvolved, ran for the hills. But the three pit bulls attacked each other, and then when they were breaking them up, attacked the women. And had to go to the hospital. No previous encounters. All the dogs were registered with the area. It's just such a shame when things like this happen. And if people knew how to read their dog's body language better, if they knew not to expose them to situations like, I don't know, maybe there was food on the ground. Maybe there was something to fight over. The territory, turf, puppies. I don't know the circumstances. But I just wish people could avoid these situations. Not all dogs want to be friends with everybody and meet and greet everywhere all the time. And if they get into it, there's not a safe way to break up a fight like that.
We throw them together expecting them to get along, and then we don't pay attention to those early signs, because there generally is, if we're reading body language, something, whether they're staring at each other or there's a little low guttural growl or something very often that, you know, we can intervene before the worst happens.
And, you know, a lot of times the dog who's making that growling or that snarling or that signal to you is trying to say to you, do something here, right? He wants you to see and hear, and he wants you to intervene. And if you punish him, well, then you make things so much worse. So sometimes the dog who's ratting everybody out gets in trouble, and then the fight goes crazy because he's no longer ratting everybody out. Although what you need to be able to separate them and deal with it pretty quick before it happens. Oh, we only have a minute left. And then if it did happen, there's first aid that needs to be done. So we're back to our original topic. Okay, everybody. Thank you for joining me, Denise. I've got to go to break.
Thanks so much for having me, Deb. Talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, everybody. So stay tuned. I'm going to talk about a little commercial on TV that kind of bugs me. I don't know if it's true. I want to ask you what you think when we come back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, and you can check out the puppies on Facebook, Camp Good Dog, and you can find my dog training DVDs on YouTube under Deborah Wolf, all for free. So, okay, so now we're going to take a walk on the cat side of things. Yes, we are. You may not believe in the Bible, or maybe you do for humans, but you most certainly should believe in the cat Bible. So we're coming back as usual with Chris Rubin and the whole shopping method of contributing to charities by buying the usual things with adoptashelter.com, the usual things you usually would, and yet you get to make a donation. And one of the charities, many of the charities he supports, come on the show. So today we have Sandy Robbins telling us about, well, cats. Welcome to the show, you two. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so very much, as always, for having me. Let me go straight to our guest. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Hi, and thanks to both of you for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting.
So to get
well, yes, okay. So everybody listening, that is a South African accent. That is a treat to the ears. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, what a civilized talk we're going to have about cats.
So one of the reasons I thought not only was it going to be civilized, as you guys well know, it's Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. Us being AdoptAShelter.com, we care about that kind of stuff, so much so that Sandy has been a great friend to Adopt a Shelter for a long time. But to give our listeners a little bit of background, here's who she is. Here's who's with us today. Sandy is an award-winning author. She's written books. We're going to come to her latest book in a bit, and she's going to talk to us. But the most important book, in my view, that she has written is called The Original Cat Fancy Cat Bible. It is so important to kind of what we stand for that her book has been featured on our site since it was first launched. And another thing that she is an award-winning journalist. She contributes many articles all the time and a great pet lifestyle expert. She was also named a 2016 Woman of Influence in the pet industry. But most importantly, like I said, she's just a dear friend. So let's talk about the Cat Bible and Sandy Robbins. Go, Sandy.
Hi, Chris. And first of all, I think I'm going to have to hire you as my publicist. You're wonderful.
He's good, isn't he? Yes.
Yes, the Cat Bible. I like to refer to it as the Old Testament, which talks about the domestication of cats and how we, following the whole line right into our homes today, and the New Testament, which is all about the behavioral problems that we have brought upon our pets because of our lifestyles that we have today, and traveling with our pets and social media with our pets and all the things that cats are so involved with at this point in time.
So with that said,
are there commandments in here? Are there 10 commandments?
No, we didn't go quite that far.
Because I was wondering, is it from the point of view of the cat, humans shall not, or is it from the point of view of the humans, cats shall not? It'd be tricky to make a decision, isn't it?
It would be, but I think if there was one commandment, it should be don't adopt unless you're going to commit for life.
Nice.
So many people don't take adoption seriously enough. And I think that if there was a commandment, we would need only one, and it would be that one.
Right.
Responsible pet ownership.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, Chris, so before we get into more about the Cat Bible and more about Sandy Robbins, can we just highlight Adopt a Shelter a little bit and how they can click on Sandy and make it work?
Well, Sandy's books, all of the things that she has put forth are all available on Amazon. So if you just click through adoptashelter.com and then go to Amazon and buy Sandy's books, whether it's the Cat Bible or her new book that we're going to talk about shortly, or any one of the books that she's written, doing that simple act, will a portion of the purchase price will go to the shelter you chose. And for all of you people out there who don't know, 3.4 million cats enter U.S. shelters every year. 1.4 million of those are euthanized. These cat rescue and shelter groups all across the nation need help. Simply clicking through adoptashelter.com, it costs you nothing, and it means the world to these groups.
So, okay, Sandy, I want to talk to you about what influenced you to write the Cat Bible. Was it watching lots and lots of cats?
Actually, I was very lucky. The publishers came to me and asked me if I would do it. And it was a job of a lifetime. It was a lot of research, about 2 or 3 years worth of solid research, as you can imagine, because it is a truly comprehensive book. It weighs 3 pounds. It is indeed a tome, and it has everything in it. But it was a joy to write because I really felt that I was putting out information in a very easy takeaway fashion. You know, you think of the Bible, you think of something very heavy in terms of its reading material. But this is not written in that style at all. It's written so that you can take away small bits, nuggets of information that you can use for whatever life stage you may have with regard to the cats in your home at that particular point in time.
Does it cover multi-cat homes?
Yes,
where you have more than one?
Certainly does. And that is a very important topic. I'm glad you mentioned that because I go into a lot of detail about multi-pet homes, multi-cat homes in particular, because so many people are under the misapprehension that you can simply bring any number of cats into your home and they will simply all get along. And as you know, Deb, that is not the case at all. You've got to do really specific introductions. Sometimes it never really works out. And, you know, a vet once said to me, try and think of it in these terms. If you're working in an office and you simply cannot stand the person at the desk next to you, it's stressful and there's a lot of tension. But at 5 o'clock, you can walk out of that office and you can go home. Cats that don't get on in the same household cannot escape one another. The tension and the stress is always there. So one's got to be really, really careful when bringing new pets into a household where there are already incumbent pets. And yes, the cat
But that
Bible,
doesn't mean it's hopeless. And there are good ways and bad ways to try it, right?
Yes. Yes, there are good ways to try it. Definitely. And in fact, I'm about to adopt a kitten next week, and we're going to go through this whole process of keeping her separately in one part of the house for a number of days till she's settled in. And then I'm going to introduce her to my incumbent cat, Ziggy, by smell first. And the easiest way to do that is to take two socks and rub the socks on the two cats and then swap the socks. So they meet by smell first, and then, of course, when they finally meet face-to-face, you've got to monitor those interactions. And you have to let the cat hierarchy, you know, stake its claim. Ziggy's obviously going to say, I'm top cat here, and the kitten's going to have to fall in line. But, you know, if you do it properly, you stand a really good chance of it working out and everybody getting along well.
Choose properly, do it properly, set up neutral territory. When you did that office description, that so hit home with me. And if you add to that, you know, say you're in an office that's where you have to share a washroom and you have to share meals and you have to share family and you have to share friends. I mean, it's getting thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker
exactly.
How much you don't like this person.
Exactly. And, you know, if you transpose that very situation over into your household with cats, you can understand what kind of tension and stress they must be going through. So I think that's really important. You know, people sometimes rescue out of the goodness of their hearts, but perhaps it's not always the best thing unless they're going to take the time and the patience to do it properly.
I once had this lady who had this dog, this lab cross, beautiful dog, good-natured, good with kids, great dog. And she decided she was going to adopt another dog, this Bichon Frise, beautiful little lappy dog. She got so enamored with the beautiful lap dog and then decided, well, actually, she really only had enough time for one dog. So then she basically dumps this 4.5-year-old lab cross back into the pool of adopted dogs. She kind of upgraded like a car, you know?
Wow.
And to me, the lab cross was wonderful with children and people and pets, that there was absolutely nothing defective about this dog, no reason to upgrade. And the new one was, I suppose it was cuter and everything, but it wasn't as it was good natured, but it wasn't as solid a dog, you know? Like it really was a bad decision. And in terms of the little white one would have had a home the next day. The black lab cross ended up in my care for probably over a year before I found it a home.
Right.
And I just felt so bad for that this would happen, you know?
Exactly.
So I think you're right. Sometimes they'll adopt a cat or a dog, not manage it right, and then reject the older, less adorable animal, maybe the animal that ought to be there first and have their loyalty. And they keep the kitten. They keep the troublemaker sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly. You're quite right. This is, I can't stress this enough, and we're on the same page on that one for sure.
Well, and again, like I was going to say, I think it's very important that you videotape that, because that can be a great teaching tool downstream. If you have the opportunity to show people exactly what you're about to go through, I think that would be awesome.
It's a very good point. I mean, there are huge responsibilities, you know, bringing a pet in. You know, as I just said, I'm about to adopt a kitten. And the first thing I did, actually, Chris, was I went to my vet, and who knows Ziggy very, very well. And Ziggy was very bonded with my late cat, Fudge, who sadly passed away 4 months ago from kidney failure. So he needs a friend. He's not used to being on his own. And the first thing the vet said to me was, knowing Ziggy's personality, be very careful that you get a really friendly, easygoing cat. And he said to me, stay away from calicos and tortoiseshells and orange cats, because they tend to have big personalities and be feisty, and that's not what is going to bode well with Ziggy. So based on that information, I actually approached the San Diego Humane Society. Deb, as you probably know, they have this world-famous kitten nursery. And I went to them and I said, I'm looking for a kitten. And I've seen how they socialize and bring up the kittens that they rescue there. And they have found for me the most adorable little tuxedo, who, as I say, we haven't met yet. I've just seen lots of pictures, but I know from what I've been told about her personality, and that she's been brought up in foster care with dogs and older cats and a whole menagerie of other pets, that she is going to really slot in here, that I stand a really good chance of Ziggy finding a friend that he's going to love and adore. And I think
we're going to have to go to break, but we're going to come back after break and talk more with Sandy Robbins and the Cat Bible and some more about cats and Adopt a Shelter and Chris Rubin. So they're staying with me. Stay tuned. We're going to talk more about how to do it right when you're bringing a cat in. Sometimes you're bringing a cat in where there's a dog, sometimes other cats. Should it be a kitten? Should it be a female cat to male cat? I got my opinions on that, and I'm sure Sandy Robbins does too. Mostly I get called in when they've done it wrong, and then I say, if only you had talked to me earlier. Okay, so, we'll be back in a moment on Smart Animal Talk, All Class Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Plus Pet Talk Radio, and you can see my puppies, well, not exactly my puppies, but my golden doodle puppies, 9 of them, at Facebook Camp Good Dog. You can also see the one little standard poodle puppy who's ready to go, 8-week-old, 9-week-old now, Apricot Male, And he's in my house, and I took a break earlier to let him out, because when you have puppies and kittens, there's a lot of work involved. And we're going to be talking to Becky Starr, as usual. Welcome to the show again, Becky.
Hello, everybody out there.
And we're also still talking with Chris Rubin from AdoptAShelter.com. Hey, Chris, say hi to everybody. Okay, well, we were talking to him, and we were talking to Sandy Robbins, who wrote the Cat Bible. I'm wondering if she's still here. Sandy?
I most certainly am, Dick. Oh. Here I am.
There we go. And I'm understanding that Becky and Sandy, you already know each other.
Yes, we do. We've met at, I think, Global Pet Expo was the last time we crossed paths.
Yes, it's been a while.
It has.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
Sandy just told us that she's canceling getting involved in some big thing, some hoopla event she was going to participate in, all to stay home to take care of a new adopted kitten she plans to get. And I was thinking, Becky, you can probably sympathize with doing something like that yourself one day, sometime in your past.
Yeah, of sympathizing with rescuing and staying home all the time?
Yes, with yes, kind of kiboshing your exciting great plans to stay home with the whiny puppy. Like I have many a New Year's Eve. I get it. I totally get it.
Over and over and over, from a paralyzed dog to a heart dog, I have dedicated the last 10 years of my life to staying home to take care of my challenged puppies.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, I applaud you, because they need more help than other pets do, and they need full-on 24-hour care. So, you know, I wish there were more people. We're going to have to clone you, Becky.
Oh, my God.
You know, sometimes
I've become a recluse. I don't know how to be out in society much anymore.
Well, so here's the thing. Sometimes, and as I hear you talk about staying home and canceling your plans to take care of the new cat, I understand why you would do that. But I also want to tell people out there that you definitely want to start your routines with your new puppy or kitten or dog or cat the way you mean to go on. You don't want to start by taking 3 weeks off and being home every second of every day and then going back to work. And for the puppy or the kitten or the dog or cat's perspective, you've just abandoned it. Something happened to you, right? They didn't get used to that at all. So if you're going to be away sometimes, and Becky, you should be away sometimes, you got to start them slowly and go out, maybe to the corner store, maybe for a drive, you know, maybe
to
just
my
walk
therapist.
Around the block, to the therapist, there you go, to the drugstore for more meds. Yes. No. Yeah. Yoga class, maybe. Breathe, Becky, breathe. No, but you probably do need to get away. So they
yes,
know that they're okay if you get away. And then gradually you increase it. Because sometimes I see people getting a pet that is perfectly independent and capable of being left alone. But then when they get it into their new home and their new environment, they take so much time to be with it on shifts and schedules. Everybody stays home. And by the time they go back to work, they now have created a separation anxiety issue where there wasn't one. So
that's
really...
Right.
Try to stay away a little bit.
That's
well, I'll tell you something.
Very valid.
I'll tell you something that is very helpful to you when you have situations like this, whether you're actually staying home like we are doing at this point, or any kind of move, any kind of shift, any kind of change, it upsets their electrical wiring, right? And I have found there are many natural remedies out there that actually do help, and one of them that I found to be quite successful is made by Green Hope Farms, and it's called Abandonment and Abuse. And what it does is it addresses, they do call PSTS, you know, post syndrome, in animals now, and are finding that this is a real thing. And so this remedy by Green Hope Farms online is called Abandonment and Abuse, really addresses past and prior traumas and experiences that animals may have gone through before, you know, they get to your home. You may not give them any trauma or stress, but what they come with, even back to, and you'll relate to this, Deb, I've learned that even when there's a lot of puppies in a litter, there can create stress and trauma very early in their life. Even if the breeders or owners give them just love, 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 there can still be things that we are not aware of that take place in their brain that end up following them the rest of their life. So just on a note, abandonment and abuse, Green Hope Farms, flower essence really, really has been very helpful in many cases that I've seen, especially with us rescue animals.
Becky, is this something you can put in the water bowl, or
yes,
how do you apply it?
Yes, you can. There's a few ways. First of all flower essences are usually, you can buy them straight or you can buy them already diluted. You can buy them with an alcohol dilution or, for animals, a non-alcohol dilution. So if you get one that is already diluted, you can use the dropper and just put drops right in their mouth. You can put a couple drops in their water bowl every day, or you can put it in a spritzer and spray it around the animal so they're breathing it in. And also, I recommend spraying it around the owner, because remember, what goes through the owner goes straight through into the animal. So they're also picking up our stress and our concerns and our neuroses at the same time. So yes, you can use it directly in their mouth, in their water bowl, or spritz it around them.
Now I remember what we were supposed to talk about, Becky. Crazy people and crazy owners. Yes,
psychos.
Yes, psycho dog and cat owners. The people who project their illnesses on their pets. Oh, yes, my dog has. And then they say what they have, you know.
But you know what? As a word of caution, Becky, if I may say, dogs are truly a different animal to cats. Some cats, you know, essential oils are a bit toxic unless they're in a hydrolyzed form. So I caution cat owners to be very careful about what they're using around cats, where dogs can more or less metabolize anything.
Well, not anything, but many things. Do you know what? Also, I want to just caution, because we're running out of time. If you do this for your dog or your cat and you're using it in water, always give your dog or your cat plain natural water as well, because you don't want your cat especially to get dehydrated, because it's avoiding the water with the new stuff in it. We're out of time, everybody. All right. Until next time, from Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and all of my guests, be good to your animals.
Bye.